Let's begin this morning with a text found in Joshua, the first chapter, the 8th verse. A verse that I know that you are very well familiar with. I tell people all the time, you know, that I'm familiar with T-bone steaks. I've eaten a good many of them, but I never turn one down. The Word of God's like that. It's always good, isn't it? So let's go back and chew, hallelujah, on the good Word of God. Here in Joshua, the first chapter, the 8th verse, God said to Joshua at the very outset of his ministry, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." Paraphrasing that in our language today to fit us, we would say this Word of God, this book, the Bible, praise God, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Now you know, the Word of God, the law of God, wasn't just given to Joshua. And so this didn't just fit him, even though God said it to him, because it would work for anyone who would do it. Now then, God evidently then wanted him to have good success, didn't he? And to be prosperous. Or he wouldn't have told him how to get it. Amen. If you didn't want somebody to come to your house, you wouldn't be out to tell him how to get there. Amen. And so if God didn't want you to be in prosperity and have good success, he wouldn't tell you how to get there. But you know, he gives explicit directions, doesn't he? I mean, no need to deviate and say, well, I lost my way somewhere here. Because this is so plain. I thought about a story I heard one time, a Baptist minister preaching on the radio. He's talking about there in Isaiah, where Isaiah prophesied about the salvation, the plan of salvation. And he went on to say that even a fool shall not err therein. And so this minister said in their hometown, his or town where he pastored, there was a fellow that just stood around on the streets. Actually, he was what they call a half-wit. You know, he's just not all there. And he'd go along down the street a murmuring. And he said, I thought about it. I'd seen him in church several times. Wasn't a member of my church, but he had been in the services. And he said, one day I was walking along behind him on the street and just happened to be thinking about that scripture, about it so plain and so on that even a fool not err therein. And the fellow's going along just sort of murmuring to himself, you know. And he said, I just called him my name. He stopped me. I said, do you know the way to heaven? Yeah, he said, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior, and said, I'm going to heaven when I die. Glory to God. Well, he might not have known much else, but thank God that's the most important thing. He's way ahead of the professor, wasn't he? Amen, that didn't know that. He's way ahead of the theologian that doesn't know that. He's way ahead of the educator that doesn't know that. That's the most important thing in all the world to know. Well, thank God the way to prosperity and the way to success is given to us in the Bible. And it'll work for every single one of us. Praise God. And then thou shalt have good success. I like another translation that said, thou shalt be able to deal wisely in the affairs of life. Well, if you couldn't deal wisely in the affairs of life, you couldn't have good success, could you? So saying it either way is saying the same thing. The reason that there is so much failure in the church, and you understand when I talk about the church, use the term the church, I'm talking about as a whole, overall, what we call the church. You know, church people, in other words. Whether they're really saved or not, you know, they're church people. And there is so much failure. And there is so many that are not successful. Successful in life. Successful in Christian living? Well, there's a reason for it. You know, the main reason is that the church as a whole has not had the right diet. You know, a lot of times if a person is not in good health and have not enjoyed good health, many times the reason is naturally they haven't been on the right diet. And the right diet means means everything. All the difference in the world, doesn't it? Did you know, spiritually speaking, the same thing's true? And so the church as a whole has been very strong in teaching man his need of righteousness, and teaching man his weaknesses, and teaching man his inability, and so on. But the church as a whole has failed greatly to really feed people on the Word of God and to teach them who they are in Christ Jesus and teach them their rights and privileges and teach them how faith can be obtained and teach them how to be successful. Walk in the light of God's eternal Word. So much of the time, the songs that we've sung, we don't sing in churches like this. But in times past, even in full gospel, Pentecostal circles, the songs that have been sung are songs of failure and songs of doubt. So like John Alexander Dowie said, most of our hymns are embalmed with unbelief. And we've sung them so long, you see, until they've registered on our spirit. We think they're so, and they're not necessarily true. Do you ever notice in so many of the hymns that we sing, you know, and I understand I'm talking about the church at large, so many of the hymns really put redemption off till after death. But thank God I'm redeemed now. Now I know my body's not redeemed yet, but I said I am. You see, the man on the inside is the real you. And he's already a new creature in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And then one of these days, I am going to have a new body. Praise God. And so many of the songs that we sing, you know, I'm going to have rest when I get to heaven. When I hear them singing those songs, sometimes I always think about rest now. You know, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll make it worse for you. Isn't that what he said? I'll burden you down even more. No. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will do what?
Rest.
Do what?
Give you rest.
I like the next verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I just wonder the way some folks act and talk, just what they're yoked up with. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. Yes, thank God we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to find rest. There's rest now in Jesus. And then, you know, even the Word of God teaches that we can go beyond even finding the rest that there is in Jesus by being yoked up to Him. The Bible teaches us that there is a rest and a refreshing in speaking with other tongues. You remember Isaiah prophesied, for with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak unto this people. Now notice what he said. And this is the rest wherewith the weary shall rest. This is the refreshing. Oh, hallelujah. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to enjoy the rest. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to enjoy the refreshing. Now, there's something else about that. Let's go back just a moment. The Holy Spirit brought something else up here. That was Matthew 11:28 that we were quoting, 29 a while ago, where Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And he said, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now you need to, the Bible differentiates, you need to differentiate between your spirit and your soul. Your soul is your intellect and the emotional part of your being. Now, so many Christians, you see, don't have rest. Now, they've got rest in their hearts, but their mind's in a turmoil. Their emotional being's all tore up. But you see, take my yoke upon you. Now, notice what he said. And learn. You notice that? Learn how you're going to find rest. See, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. See, you'll have rest in your heart and in your spirit by coming to Jesus. But then notice what it said. Take my yoke upon you and learn. How are you going to find rest in your soul? You see, your spirit and soul is not the same. You know, here's a verse that used to, I couldn't figure out not for years. And I don't know about you, but I just always stay off of something that I don't understand. Somebody said, well, we're going to wade out, you know, tomorrow night in the book of Revelation. And they don't know a thing, a world about it, and just wade out there and drowned everybody. Amen. You better wait till you find out what he's talking about and then get into it. Now, I want to show you something. Open your Bible to James, the first chapter. Open your Bibles to James, the first chapter. Now, you understand this. James didn't write this letter to sinners. He didn't write this to the world. This is written to the church. You know, he didn't write it in chapter and verses. He wrote a letter. Man divided in chapter and verses for reference sake. And over there in the 5th chapter, you know, in the 14th verse, and the 15th, 16th verses, you know, where he talks about, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. See, I want to emphasize church. See, he's talking about the church, believers. So this isn't written to sinners then. Now notice what he said here, in the very first chapter of James, and this 21st verse, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now remember the thought, learn over there? Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn. Receive with meekness the ingrafted word. See, we learn through the word, which is able to save your souls. Well, I used to wonder about that. You know, I thought, well, dear Lord, I thought my soul was already saved. I didn't know the difference between my spirit and soul. I thought my soul was already saved, because we use that term loosely, you see. No, he's writing to Christian people. He's saying that these Christians here, soul wasn't saved. Now let's get back to this word save here for a minute. The Greek word translated save here is also translated heal, and then sometimes it's translated whole, whole. You remember when Jesus, the woman with the issue of blood, you remember that touched Jesus' garment and was healed? Remember that? Remember he said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. That same Greek word that's translated whole there is also translated saved. It's also translated healed. And so in other words, he's saying, receive with meekness the ingrafted word which is able to make your soul whole or save. Or here's another way to say it. Remember the thought, learn. And remember the thought, receiving the word of God. That's how we learn, through the word of God. Go back with me again to Romans, the 12th chapter. And see here that Paul is writing to the saints at Rome. Now again, he's not writing to sinners. 12th chapter of Romans. He's not writing to sinners. He's not writing to the world. He's writing to people that are born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues. Now notice what he said. In the first verse, wherefore I beseech ye, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, see, as a church's whole body or an individual body, to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Now you see, you're going to have to do something with your body, not God. He did something with your spirit. He imparted eternal life unto your spirit. And your spirit, which is the real man, became a new man in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now then you'll have to do something with your body. And that's what Paul's saying to the Romans. You need to do something with your body. You need to present your body unto God, a living sacrifice. You see, God wants transfigured bodies. Yes, sir. It does make God some difference what you do with your body. Amen. Now then notice the next verse. The second verse, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Now remember, your mind, your intellect, your emotional part of your being is your soul. So in other words, you could really translate this by the renewing of your soul. Are you listening? Now, remember the 23rd Psalm? We all love so well, so much, that it belongs to us, see? You see, many of these Psalms of the, well, we call it the Book of Psalms. Actually, in the Hebrew Bible, there's five books of Psalms. It corresponds to the first five books of the Bible. It was Israel's prayer and song book. And many of these Psalms are prophetic, or they're messianic. They prophesy concerning the coming Messiah. For instance, you read the 22nd Psalm, and you can see a picture of the Calvary. You see a picture of the crucifixion. Now the 23rd Psalm, we're living in it right now. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, didn't he? Then in the 24th Psalm, you see Jesus as the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords upon the earth. Now he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our life, but he's not King of Kings and Lord of Lords as yet upon the whole earth, but he will be. So now then, we're living in the 23rd Psalm right now. That's present tense. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hallelujah. Now we'll not quote all of it, but you go on reading through it, you know, and enjoy it. But now notice this statement there. He restoreth my soul. Hallelujah. Does what? Restoreth my soul. Now, did you notice the expression? Actually, the Greek word translated renew in Romans 12:2 and the Hebrew word translated restore here mean the same thing. After all, restore and renew means the same thing, even in our English. For instance, here's, you have an old piece of furniture. Well, you don't want to throw it away. You want to save it. So you renew it or restore it. We have a chair. My wife and I have a chair that actually I got from my mother when she went on to be with the Lord. And she got it from her mother. Now, I can trace that chair back at least 125 years. And then I also have, I call it a bookcase. You could use it as a china closet. It's glass with shelves in it, you see. And also, that was my grandmother's. I can trace it back about 125 years, see. Amen. Now then, we took this chair, though, and restored it, renewed it. We took this bookcase, I use it as a bookcase there in the study at home, and renewed it, restored it. You see what I mean? It's identically the same bookcase, but it's just renewed and restored. Do you ever stop to think about it? That's what he's talking about, the mind of man. Our spirits became a new man. It's brand new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. One translation said he's a new species. That means he's something that never existed before. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See? But now the soul is renewed, restored, saved. See, he restoreth my soul. Praise God. Now notice this. Let's go back to our scripture there in Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You'll find rest. Praise God, you'll find rest. But now notice this. Take my yoke upon you and learn. 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 Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to do what? Save your souls. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed how? By the renewing of your minds. You see, many times there's turmoil in people's minds. There's upheaval in their emotional areas because they have not taken His yoke upon them and learned of Him. How are we going to do it? How are we going to get our minds renewed? With the Word of God. Learn to think in line with God's Word. Learn, and if you don't know what God's Word said, you can't think like that. Think in line with God's Word. train yourself that no matter what happens in life, if emergency arises, the first thing you think of is, what does God's Word say?
Amen.
What does God's Word say? And begin to think right in line with what the Word says. And you'll find peace that you couldn't have any other way. Amen. Isn't that right? You know, if you think after, you know, like man thinks, or the world thinks, you know, that's what it said here, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll think naturally, and you won't have peace. You just won't have peace. I remember one time my wife and I were preaching the western part of the nation, and there was a minister of the gospel that went home to be with the Lord. Now, he was older, much older. So I don't know, maybe 15, 20 years older than his wife. And he just lived his life out, went home to be with the Lord, actually had a good and glorious home going. And he had been a leader of his denomination. In fact, he had invited us to come preach camp meeting and preach in all the churches in his district or area. And so we were in meetings there and had in close by, and then we had to go on to another meeting in another state. But we went by, after we'd learned that he'd passed away, you know, to offer our sympathy and condolences to his wife. And so she's just all torn up, you see, emotionally, mentally. Well, I just took her in the living room, you know, and sat down with her on the couch with the Word of God by ourselves and began to point out Scripture to her, you see. Now, what does the Bible say? You see, we ought to, even at times like that. See, death hasn't been put underfoot yet. Now, it will be one day. And that'll be a glorious day. It's the last enemy. See, it's the last enemy that'll be put underfoot. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Glory to God when that enemy, oh, hallelujah, is put underfoot. Amen. But it hasn't yet. I said it hasn't been put underfoot yet, but it will be. Yet, right on the other hand, when death comes, we need to think in line with what God's Word said. And so I began to point out to her from Philippians, the first chapter, the 21st through the 23rd verses, where the Apostle Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die ends it all. It's hopeless and dark." No. To die is to gain. Gain. Glory to God. Now, I said, you see, we think naturally. We think about me. You know, most tears are selfish. We think about me, poor old me. What am I going to do? I'm left. Oh, we might as well admit it. And then not only are we to admit it, we might as well admit we're all in the same pot. You know what I mean? We've all been there. Amen. Until we corrected ourselves. Amen. To depart, be with Christ, which he said is gain. And he also used the term there, far better. Amen. Far better. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now notice that he said, nevertheless to abide in the flesh. Now the word abide means to live. Nevertheless to live in the flesh. See, he's going to live. It's not a matter that he died, because he didn't. Amen. He's going to live, but he might not be living in the flesh. And so he said to live in the flesh is more needful for you, because see, he's writing to the Philippian church. If he's here, he could write a letter to him. He could preach to him. He could be a blessing to him. He said, nevertheless, I'm in a strait. Did you ever get in a strait? Betwixt two. He said, you know, he's sort of wavering here between the two of them. Having a desire to depart. See, when the Christian dies, he departs. Where does he go? To depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Now, you see, it already used the term, it's to die is to gain. Well, that's sure not natural thinking, is it? I said, that's no wonder he said, get your mind renewed. Don't think like the world. Don't be conformed to this world. What does he mean, don't be conformed? Don't think like the world thinks. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You get your mind renewed with the Word of God, you look at things differently. Amen. Amen. Now, I said to this lady, you know, if you had a son, working for some company here. Now, this is many years ago, you see, here in America. And so he just called you and just all happy, all mama, and said, you know, isn't it wonderful? The company just gave me a raise, and I'm going to make, you know, then, 1955, $105,000. We'd say, I'm going to make $1 million a year now. And then all that, but they're going to furnish me, you know, a $500,000 home. Now then, we'd say $1.5 million, $2 million home, free of charge. Oh, and you just start going into his church. Oh, isn't that awful? He's going to live in $1.5 million home. Isn't that terrible? He's going to make $1 million. Oh, isn't that awful? No. What would you do? Well, she said, I'd just start shouting. I said, start shouting. That's where your husband, he's game. Glory to God. I'll tell you, it's just like a dark cloud lifted from her head. And she just started praising God to shout. She couldn't hardly be still. Hallelujah. Now why? She began to get her mind renewed with the Word of God, and the peace began to flow in. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I remember in our hometown, little old Baptist lady, bless her heart, she didn't understand. She's 80-some-odd years of age. The last time I talked to her, I think 83, 84, 85. Little bitty woman, white-haired. And she didn't understand about tongue, but I tell you, that woman was born again, and she knew the move of the Holy Ghost. Because she said, you know, somebody asked me about this tongue bit and said, I don't know about it, I don't know. But said, I knelt to pray by a lady, and she started speaking in that language, and said, there's just a holy reverence came over me. Somebody asked me about it, and I said, well, that's the Holy Ghost, that's what it is. Said, she's just on a different wavelength than what I am. Hallelujah. But said, that was the Holy Ghost. And she's right, she's right. Well, this dear old Baptist lady, all of her children were in the fold except one. That is to say, but one. He had been a veteran in World War No. 1. You see, and I was talking to her. I'm talking about in the late Depression days, 1937, 38, you see. And so this boy had never been saved. Even though he's raised up, she read the Bible to him when he's a little boy every day, prayed with him, you know. And he had been injured, you know, in the wounded and so on, and gassed in World War No. 1, and was in a veterans hospital, about 49 years old. And so they said he's going to die. So he said to the doctor, I want to go home to die. But the doctor said, you'd never make it. You'd die before you get there. No, he said, I want to see my mother. Well, can she come here? No, he said, my mother's 80-some-odd years old. And then he said to the doctor, they went by train in those days, you know, the late 30s. Put me on the train. I want to go home. And when I get home, now to see they had to carry him to ambulance to the train, they had to carry him to ambulance from the train to home. He said, I remember as a little boy, I'd be playing around, you know, and Mama would, you know, when I wasn't in school and before I started school. And Mama would get through with the breakfast dishes and so on. The other kids is off, you know, in school, and Dad's off working. And she'd always go sit on the front porch in an old rocking chair and read the Bible. And she would call me and say, son, come. And I'd go and I'd kneel there and lay my head in her lap. And she'd lay hands on me and pray over me. And he said, doctor, I want to go home. And I want to kneel by that same old rocking chair and lay my head in Mama's lap and say, Mama, I want your Jesus. I never did accept it, but I want to, and I want to do it there. I know I could here. And that doctor said, well, all right, we'll try to get you there. We'll just give you all the shots we can, you know, and so on, and give you something to take along with you. And so he got there. I'm aware of the fact when he came. And he did that very thing. When they brought him, when they started to carry him in to the house, his mother standing there on the old front porch of the old family home. He said to the fellas carrying the stretcher, wait a minute, fellas, wait a minute, wait a minute. Mama, sit down there in that old rocker. Same old rocking chair after 50 years still sitting there on the front porch. Mama, he said, fellas, help me to get off of this stretcher. Carry me over there and I'm going to kneel there and put my head in Mama's lap. And he found Jesus. And he began to shout and praise God. Well, she said to me, you know, of course we were Baptists and I was too then. But she said, I couldn't take care of him by myself, 80-some-odd years, so I got a nurse, and the nurse happened to be Pentecostal. And she asked me, could I get my pastor to come pray with him? Oh, yes, yes, and he wanted him to come. So he came, began to talk to him about being healed. And he had these awful spells and just nearly died. And so he said to the pastor and his mother, said, no, I don't want to be healed. No, I made such a mess of my life and it's all gone, but I just want to go on home. Don't y'all pray to God to heal me. Pray that I go on home. And this dear little Baptist woman said, I just laid hands on him and said, Lord, he's ready. He's the last one into the fold now. Just let him come on home. And in 30 minutes' time, he'd gone home. Well, she let her Baptist pastor read the obituary and prayer, but she wanted to, because he loved this Pentecostal preacher so well, to preach a funeral. And some of those Pentecostal people told me, you know, one of them said to me, said, I'd beat anything you've ever seen in my life. Pentecostal now, full gospel. Said, that Baptist woman is so glad her son died, said she's just shouting all up and down the aisles because she'd died. Now, see, that poor fellow's Pentecostal never got his mind renewed to the Word of God. No, I talked to her personally. She said, I just couldn't stand it. I thought about that casket lying there, his body, that's not him. I thought about, thank God he made it. He's the last one in. I couldn't stand it. She said, you know, I'm old-time Baptist. You see, in 37, she was 85 years old. But see how far back she went? And she just got up and got to shouting up and down the aisle. And she had long white hair, had it made up, but she shouted until she shouted her hair down. And that long white hair just hanging down her back. And she had just danced by that casket, you know, and said, wow, he made it. Whoa, glory to God, he made it. He made it. Hallelujah. Amen. Baptist. And she had run down that aisle of the church and run back up this aisle just a dancing and a jumping, you know, and stop and dance a few licks, you know, and a running, said he made it. Thank God he's home. He's home. He's home. And she'd run up there to the casket and say, he's not there. No, that's not him. That's a house he lived in. He's gone home. Hallelujah. Whoa, he made it. Glory to God. Now, I'm telling the truth about it. Pentecostal people sit there. That dear old woman sort of deranged. No, she wasn't deranged. She had got her mind rearranged. Rearranged with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
She's thinking in line with God's Word and had great peace. Amen. Rest and peace. Hallelujah to Jesus. Well, you know, this dear lady, this wife of this supervisor of the full gospel denomination, you know, you'd get her to shout, you know, dry her tears. She's just so happy. And about that time, some of the preachers of the district, somebody would drive up and say, well, here comes Reverend so-and-so and his wife. And right behind him, another one. And you could hear him a crying time they got out of the car. And she'd go to meet them, and they'd just pull her right back down till she'd get into hysterics, just almost go wild. There's a hollering, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do without him? See, we, us, me, I. See, what are we going to do? You'd have thought Jesus had died, and God had vacated the throne. Well, that poor dear just went wild. I'd have to get her away from him. You know, you've got to get people away from some preachers. You'll never be able to help them if you don't. Because they'll put so much doubt and unbelief and devil and everything else into them, you couldn't do a thing for them. And so I'd get her away from them and go to giving her the Bible, you know, and get her to shouting. Amen. Did that two or three times. We had to leave. We were sorry. We had to go, but she understood. She's been in the ministry for a good many years with him. Advertisements out. We couldn't attend the funeral. We went on over to the other state and started our meeting. They had the funeral. And so she called us. Long distance. Brother Hagin said, tell me that again. Oh, I know the Bible. She'd read it. She'd heard, but just tell it again. See that old story. Glory to God. Don't care how many times you heard it. Yeah. I'd begin to give her the scripture. Just lift her right up. Yeah. Lift her right up. Yeah. You see? And then finally she called us again and said, Brother and Sister Hagin said, could I come over there to another state and be with y'all in that meeting? Well, she always said, come right on over. So she came over. She said, you know, you're the only one that puts anything in me. Listen, everybody else pulls me down, tears me down. I just get all, you know, full of grief and just down. But you lift me up. Well, it was the Word. It wasn't me lifting her up. God used us to give the Word, you know. And then she said, could we just go home with you? We were going home, so she went back to Texas with us. Praise God. Amen. I tell you, when folks find something, they like it.
That's right.
Something that's real.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Now, meditating upon the Word. See, that's what he said to Joshua. It's meditating upon the Word of God. Renewing your mind with the Word of God. Thinking in line with God's Word. Thinking God's thoughts after Him. You know, that's what, back here in Isaiah, remember what he said there? My thoughts are not your thoughts. High as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above your thoughts. You see, you begin to think like I'm preaching to you and the world says you're nuts. And people that are Christians but haven't got their minds renewed, they think you're crazy.
Amen.
But all the peace and the joy that we have, hallelujah, walking with Him. And so it's not a matter of we're going to have rest when we get to heaven. Thank God we got rest now. And then you listen to some of the songs that's sung in church as a whole, you know, and we're going to have peace after a while. And every time I hear that, I always think about the Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. We're not going to get it, we have it. We have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to get it, we have it. I won't have any more peace on the inside of me when I get to heaven than I got right now. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. Well, you listen to some of the song, we're going to have victory after a while. Some sweet day after a while. After a while. No, thank God, there's victory now. This is the victory that overcometh the world. And we could just say, this is the victory that overcometh, period. Hallelujah. This is the victory that overcometh. What is it?
Our faith.
That's it exactly. Believing God's holy word. Now let's go back real briefly before we close. I've given the introduction, but I don't have time to preach my sermon now because my time got away from me. I spent too much time on the introduction. Now notice. Let's go back to our text there in Joshua 1:8. This, paraphrase it, language it that fits us. The word of God shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, to observe and to do all that's written there, and then thy way shall be prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Meditating on what?
The word.
What?
The word.
The word. Meditating on defeat?
No.
Meditating on failure?
No.
Meditating on what?
The word.
The word. The Word. Let's look at a few scriptures that would be good for all of us to meditate on. Now, all of it's good. You understand that? But I don't know about you. I pick out certain scriptures, and then according to what's happening, you know, I may spend more time at times meditating on certain scriptures than do others, because that's what I need now. Amen? Now then, what does this mean here in Romans 8:37? Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Well, now that verse is real good. But let's read the entire context. The verses surrounded it, and it'll help us to see what he's meaning when he said, in all of these things. Now what things? The things that he had just mentioned. Hallelujah. Now let's look. Let's start with the 31st verse and read the entire context to get the full import of what he's saying. What shall we then say to these things? Now there's the expression, these things. And notice down the 37th verse, he said, nay, in all these things. Well, what are these things he's talking about? Let's see. In all the, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. See, God's not going to lay anything to our charge. He's the one that justified us, made us righteous. That's what the same Greek word is translated justified, is translated made righteous. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is ever at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Hallelujah. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things. Glory. Glory to God. In all of these things, we are more than failures. We are more than conquerors. Man, you just stop and think about it. He just said we was conquerors. That'd been pretty good, wouldn't it? He said we're more. What do you mean more? We're way out beyond being a conqueror. Out the other side, hallelujah, of being a conqueror. In all of these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. Let's look at another verse. You're familiar with it, but it's good. Look at Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 13th verse. I can do nearly everything. Well, a few things anyway. Huh? I can do all things. Yeah, but somebody said Paul was an apostle. Yeah, that's right. I can do all things because I'm an apostle. And I'm stronger than other men. Huh? No. No. I can do all things through Christ. Not through his apostleship. Through Christ. See, Christ didn't belong to Paul any more than he belongs to you. Paul wasn't in Christ any more than you're in Christ. Are you listening? If you want to term it that way, it's not good terminology. But Paul didn't have any more of Christ than you do. Are you listening? No, he didn't. I said, no, he didn't. See, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. One Christian's not any more in Christ than somebody else is. He's either in Christ or isn't. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He didn't strengthen Paul any more than he strengthens you. He didn't belong to Paul any more than he belongs to you. I can say, and you can say, I can do all things through Christ, who strengtheneth me. Can you say amen? Which strengtheneth me. When is it that we're going to be able to do all things? When we get to heaven? After we've finished our course down here, you know? Stand with him on the new heaven and the new earth? No, thank God, 1,000 times no, it's right down here where we need it. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, here's a good one. Let's finish with it. My, my, my. See, you could just take these scriptures, you know what I mean, and preach them now until Christmas. And still not cover all of them. But here's a good one. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. The very first chapter. The very first chapter. And see something else that belongs to us. Not that we're going to get it when we get to heaven. Or one of these days, if we promise to do better, he might just automatically sort of drop it down on us like a ripe cherry falling off of a tree. No, no. Look at that 30th verse. Did you wear your shouting clothes this morning?
Yes.
All right, look at that 30th verse. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Now, he's writing to the whole church at Corinth, isn't he? I said, isn't he? That's the reason I said Paul wasn't in Christ any more than we are. And the church at Corinth wasn't in Christ any more than we're in Christ. But of him, of God, God's the one that planted the whole thing. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God, Christ of God, is made unto us. Woo, glory to God. Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. My, 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 my. What more you need, boy? Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Stand up, everybody, and say it out loud. He is made unto me. Wisdom. Righteousness. Sanctification. Redemption. I'm redeemed.
I'm
sanctified.
I'm righteous.
I have His wisdom. Hallelujah. Well, let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.